And we are on the subject that acceptable worship is possible only in Jesus Christ and in his body. Did somebody ask that I repeat what I've just said? Thank you. We have been discussing over the past 3 weeks, this is the third week, that true acceptable worship, that is, if worship going to be true and acceptable by God, that worship have to take place within a particular context. And that context including the fact that worship will be acceptable to God only when it is done in Jesus Christ and in his body. And somebody asks, what do you mean in Jesus Christ? During this lesson, I'm hoping to say more about this being in Christ. The past 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time on the Old Testament, looking on the Old Testament Levitical system. The Israelite, the sacrificial system, and some of the things that were required by God. Why did we do that? Because the Bible tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is, before, those things were written for our learning. While we are not under the Old Testament, but the things that were written in the Old Testament, the Almighty God have that done, that is, have it written, so that we could read it and learn something to help guide us or to help us understand his will. You see, it's important that we understand God's will. If you don't, or if I do not understand God's will, I cannot relate to God in a right way. It's not just how you feel or how I feel. Serving God is more a rational thing than a feeling thing. That's right. So don't let your feeling betray you. While feeling comes in the picture, but it is not the major thing when you are trying to relate to the Almighty God in a right way. So we had gone to the Old Testament. In fact, let me get us started by starting there in Scripture. So let us run to the passage of Leviticus, and it is chapter 3, I think. And, well, chapter 16, verse 2 through verse 3 or 4. Let us hear it.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
Speak unto Aaron thy brother.
Speak to Aaron your brother.
That he will come not at all times into the holy place.
Wait. That he does not come into the holy place all the time.
Amen.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, what all this about? The holy place was where you go and worship. It's talk about the tabernacle here, and that's where worship took place. Among the places, the main place, some of the main, central, primary acts of worship took place in the tabernacle. In fact, the Almighty God had gone to the extent where he told them, that that is where I will meet with you. Amen. The tabernacle was a type of the church. Amen. That he does not come into the tabernacle at all times. Read on.
That he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat.
Yeah, you see, within the veil is the holy of holies. And from all indication, that's where God is telling, because that represents heaven. Amen. You see, you have priests would go into the holy place many times for the day because they have to go and carry out particular act of worship many times for the day. But in the Holy of Holies, it was only one day out of the year that they could enter, the high priest could enter. And that's what God is emphasizing here. Read on.
Into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not.
You hear that? Anyway, your brother Moses, Aaron, doesn't listen carefully. Anyway, he's not attentive and a receptive hearer. I'm going to kill him. That he die not.
Amen.
And that, in fact, just entering the holy place and you didn't go according to God's word, God would kill you. An example of that is Nadab and Abihu in chapter 10. We are at chapter 16. But in chapter 10, the Almighty God killed two priests of his. Worship is a serious thing. But what a great privilege we have to worship God. What an awesome privilege where we can come near to God, close to God. Because the Bible tells us that when we worship, we draw near to God. That is, we come within God's circle in ways that we do not when we do other things.
Amen.
When you worship. So the Almighty God is emphasizing here to Moses to instruct his brother Aaron, that Aaron understand that you cannot come near to me just any and any way.
Amen.
That was verse 3.
Verse 2.
Read on. Verse 3 now.
That he die not.
That he die not.
For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.
That, you see, that is the holy of holies. Remember, that represents heaven. The holy place represents the church. But the holy of holies represents heaven. Uh-huh.
Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place.
You know, is this thus all? You hear I'm here talking. And I wasn't talking foolishness. Is this thus I want the brother to reach to? What does it mean? The Almighty God, read that thus again.
Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place.
This is how, that's what that does mean, you know. That's what that does mean. That does imply, this is how Aaron going to come into the holy place.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, what we're being taught here, you cannot approach God just any and any way. In fact, a few of the passages that we are going to study this morning from the New Testament, you are going to see that very point. You cannot come to God, approach God, just any and any way. You know, we country people would say, you can't come so. And that thus, the Almighty God is emphasizing to Moses to tell your brother Aaron that this is how you are going to come into the Holy of Holies. This is how. Not only that, I have been emphasizing over the past 2 weeks that in worship, we draw near to God. We come within God's circle in ways, that is, when we come to worship God in a genuine, sincere. We come within God's circle in ways that we do not when we do other things. That's right. Wait. The Bible tells us that God is always with his people. Yeah. But even with that, when you and I set out to worship God in any act of true worship, we come within the divine circle, close to God in ways that we do not. And this is why Christians should crave worship. Matthew 2, the passage that I don't know if when I gave it to the brother, you know, I don't think it was my mistake because I'd look on my outline, but it could have been when it passed from one person. The passage is really 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, verse 4 or 5 through verse 7. That was, you know, the passage. Not, I'm almost sure I didn't give Philippians. But the passage what was read from Philippians was a good reading. It was the word of God. Now, keep in mind, you know, I've been saying that we cannot approach God just any and anyway. And every time you approach God to give him true worship, you come close to God. Here is another point. Because of the holy God that God is, are you there with me? Our sins and imperfections and our offenses are hindrance and obstacle to God's presence and to fellowship with God. Let me repeat that. Our sins, our imperfections, and our offenses, they become hindrances, they become obstacles to the presence of God and to fellowshipping with God. This is why we often share the passage of St. John chapter 9, verse 31 with people we are trying to teach. That passage says, now we know that God heareth not sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God, him he heareth. We usually use that passage because it makes the thing very plain. But here is it. There are many more passages in the Bible that state the same truth. That sin must first be addressed before you can approach God. That's a fact. It is taught from Old to New Testament. Acceptable worship calls for a proper spiritual relationship with the Almighty God. You're asking me to repeat it again? Okay, I will repeat it. Acceptable worship calls for a proper spiritual relationship with the Almighty God. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, 28, and somebody hold Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Let us hear it.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe.
That acceptable worship. Let me hear Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
You might be wondering, and somebody have Titus chapter 2, verse 11 ready. You might be wondering, what does that have to do with one must be in a proper relationship with the Almighty God? That is a spiritual relationship with God before your worship can be acceptable. You see, let me hear from the version I gave you, brother. I don't know if it worded differently. Just for your benefit, read.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
It's the Bible that I gave you, same way it worded. Okay. What the Bible, what this verse is pointing out, it's pointing out that worshiping God acceptably is for those who are a part of the kingdom. That's what the passage is, when it says receiving a kingdom. It is addressing men and women who are part of the church. That's God's kingdom. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, you're confused. The church? Yes. The church, as you see it now, once it is guided by the gospel of Christ, it is the place and the people where God rule and reign. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that Jesus Christ is reigning now. Over whom? Over his church, the Christian. His kingdom. We are told in our past passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 or 13, that God had translated us from the kingdom of, help me here, darkness into the kingdom of his dear beloved Son. What does that tell us? That Christ's kingdom exists. Mark you, it does not exist now in its glorified state. That will come after judgment. But the kingdom now exists in its earthly stage, in the church. And when the Bible, the passage the brothers just read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and did I say verse 28, when that passage says, receiving a kingdom, that is, the Christian men and women who abandon sin, repent after they believe, confess Christ, get baptized, they become a part of Christ's kingdom. And having become a part of that kingdom, read the passage again.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom.
Since we are receiving a kingdom. Since we are a part of his kingdom.
That cannot be shaken.
It cannot be shaken. There is no power on earth or anywhere else that going to threaten Christ's kingdom. Are we there? Are we there? Jesus Christ had already said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. So here again, the writer of Hebrews telling us that the Christian are recipient of, which means they are part of a kingdom that cannot be removed. Read.
That cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful.
Let us be people who are thankful. That is, that we are part of this kingdom.
And so worship God.
And so worship God.
Acceptably.
Acceptably, only when you're a part of this kingdom, you can worship God acceptably.
With reverence and awe.
With reverence and awe, which means reverence and fear. Let us hear. Let me hear. Wasn't there something in the passage that talk about grace? The King James.
Let us have grace.
Yes, let me hear it from the King James.
Let us have grace.
Let us have grace.
Whereby we may serve God acceptably.
Whereby we may serve God. How we may serve him?
Acceptably.
You notice this business of serving him a particular way. You see, we can give service to God and it just going to hear. What we must think in terms of, am I doing it the way God wants it done? Because that's the only time it is acceptable to God. But the passage here, the King James, gives you the idea that you need grace for that. Yes, being able to worship God acceptably is part of God's gracious gift to us. But what I'd ask the brother turn to the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 is a point about grace that we must always be mindful of. People talk about the grace of God does this and the grace of God does that. Yes. But note this about grace in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, I think.
For the grace of God.
For the grace of God.
That bringeth salvation.
You see, the salvation that we have, those of us who are Christian, comes by God's grace.
Hath appeared to all men.
All men. Wait. This doesn't mean all men are saved. It only means God's grace make it possible for all men and women to be saved. In other words, God make his grace available to everybody. Wait, let me drop this by. You know, I'm a kind person and I always like to give brata. The Almighty God does not have a system where he fix it that some of us must go hell and some of us must go to heaven. Wait. God does not have a system where some people were built, made for hell and some people were made for heaven. There is no such plan in God's purpose. What God has is a plan and a provision for all men and women to be saved. Now, it's up to us to make the decision whether we want to be saved or end up being lost in hell. So the Bible says, how the grace of God
that bringeth salvation.
That grace that brought salvation
hath appeared to all
men. It is available to all men and women. That's right. Doesn't mean you are going to be saved because the grace is here. You must accept the grace. Wait. You must accept the condition of grace. And hear grace now. Read.
Teaching us that.
Wait. Grace teaches.
Amen.
Grace teaches.
Amen.
And you're going to learn in this passage that not only teaches, grace have certain conditions or terms. Amen. Teaching us that.
Denying ungodliness and
brother, another word for that is repentance. Grace teach that we must deny ungodliness.
Amen.
What else?
And worldly lust.
We must deny worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
What else?
Righteously.
Wait, not take time with me, brother. We should live how?
Soberly.
We must live like we are sensible people. Huh? Wait. You mustn't just gallant through life like you know nonsense. Amen. We must not go through life that we are intoxicated people. Huh? And a lot of time, Christian give the ungodly people out their idea that Christian know of no sense. That's not the way God wants you to act. Huh? God wants you to act like you are a sensible person. How much we live? Living soberly.
Righteously.
Righteously.
And godly.
And godly in the world to come.
In this present world.
Ooh. You see, that's grace. Huh? Remember the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28? From the King James Version, it talks about the grace of God. And I just felt that I need to enlighten you a little on how grace works. Grace has condition that must be met. So it's not a case where, well, the grace of God will save me. Well, only when you obey what grace says. You must live godly in this present world. You must abandon sin. Are we all there? Well, let us continue on the fact about worship. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This passage came up in the lesson quite a lot over the past 2 weeks. Hebrews chapter 13, 10 through 16. This passage is about worship. Hebrews chapter 13, 10 through 16. Let us hear it.
We have an altar.
We have an altar.
From which those who minister at the tabernacle.
Wait. Here again, the altar is about worship. Are we all there? The altar, the Old Testament altar, was all about worship. It was the place where the sacrificial animal was slain and offered. We have an altar. Let us hear it. Verse 10.
Which serve the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
What verse is that?
Verse 14.
I want you to read to 16. Go on.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God.
Wait, read that again.
By him, therefore.
The word by him, those two words mean literally in him or through him. Literally, those, you see, it's really, preposition that is used there really mean not so much in, not so much by, but in him or through him. Let us do what?
Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
That is worship. When the Bible talks about offering sacrifice of praise, that is worship. Wait. That passage is telling us that when we sing to the honor and glory of God's name, we are offering sacrifice of praise. In fact, let us take it now verse back. Read a little more, brother.
That is the fruit of our lips.
You know this? You know this talk about singing, the fruit of our lips? Read on.
Giving thanks to his name,
mm-hmm.
but to do good and to communicate, forget not.
Okay, let us now take it verse by verse. Verse 10.
We have an
altar. Wait. We have been emphasizing verse 10 over the past many weeks that non-Christian cannot participate because they do not have a right. Read verse 10 again.
We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat.
Whereof they have no right to eat.
Which serve the tabernacle.
Of course, those who were participating under the Old Testament, in Old Testament sacrificial worship in the tabernacle, after Christianity came into existence, the inspired writer is telling us here that they have no right to Jesus Christ when they still hold on to that system. That's verse 10. Now verse 12 through verse 14.
Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood.
Wait. Notice who is in consideration here. Verse 12, 13, and 14. Read again.
Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood.
It is those who are sanctified. Are we there? Read on a little more.
Suffered without the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp.
Us is not everybody. It is those who have given Jesus Christ a chance to set them apart. But Brother Mitchell, there's nothing in the passage about setting apart. That's what the word sanctify means. Those who have been set apart by Jesus Christ, they can go outside the camp for Jesus' blessing. Are we all there? Those who are sanctified, bearing the reproach of Jesus Christ, they seek for a city. Those are the ones who can and are to offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Those who are sanctified. That is those who are saved by Jesus Christ. That's what the passage, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 through verse 16, is teaching or telling us who are the one who are qualified by God's qualification to offer sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise is worship. You have to be sanctified. Now, let us turn to another passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 through verse 9.
As newborn babes,
mm-hmm.
desire the sincere milk
mm-hmm.
of the word.
May I? He introduced his point by identifying to whom he is talking. Are we all there? Don't take that for granted. He's talking to people who had become Christian. And because some of them were relatively young Christian, they are likened to young baby. Huh? Who desire the mother's milk. Start again, brother.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
You see, that's Christian, you know. That's Christian, who men and women who became Christian. And they act like baby. Baby always act like they are starving. That's right. They always want their mother's breast. Well, what the Bible is telling us here, that's the way Christians are to act. But you know what? For the word of God. When you find in yourself as a child of God, you start to tired of God's word. You don't have no appetite for it. Look, you don't need for anybody to tell you that something is wrong with your relationship with God. Huh? Even a young, inexperienced mother doesn't need anybody to tell her that when the infant, when the baby not eating, something is wrong with that baby. Huh? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk, but what it is talk about here is the word of the gospel, the sincere milk of the word. Read on.
That he may grow thereby.
You notice in Christ we grow, we develop. Just like human infant, we grow by the word. Read on.
If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Having become a Christian, you have tasted of God's grace.
Amen.
And if that is so with you, you should be what I am saying you are to be. Read on, brother.
To whom coming as unto a living stone,
mm-hmm.
disallowed indeed of men,
uh-huh.
but chosen of God,
uh-huh.
and precious.
Precious.
Yeah.
Read on.
Ye also, as lively stone.
You Christian, Jesus Christ is the rock.
Amen.
When we come to him, we come to that rock. You Christian, being followers of Christ, you also are stone, but you are not dead stone. Didn't he use the word lively in the passage, brother?
Yes, brother.
Which means that they are living stone. Christian, read on.
Ye also, as lively stone,
uh-huh.
are built up a spiritual house.
Watch here now. Brother Mitchell, what house we build up? The church. That's what it is talk about. We comprise the church of Christ.
Amen.
God's house. You build up
a spiritual house.
That's what the church is.
Amen.
The church of Christ. Read on.
And holy priesthood.
Wait. Under the Old Testament, only men could be priests. Huh? Under the Old Testament, men and women. Huh? Our priests. Are we all there?
Amen.
Every person who become a Christian, according to God's word, you are a priest.
Amen.
Wait. The writer is heading somewhere, you know. The writer is going somewhere, and don't let the writer, that is the writer of the passage being read in Peter, which was Peter, don't let him reach his place and you are way behind. So we are all priests, every true Christian. Wait, I don't say every man, every woman who claim to be a member of some man-made church. No, that's not what we are talking. Every true Christian, you are a priest. Brother Mitchell, what did a priest do? Thank you for asking that question. What is the function of a priest? Well, we need not spend much time on the Old Testament, because the function of a priest was to go in the tabernacle and offer worship. That was his main function, to offer worship to the Almighty God. Let me hear that little part about priests, brother.
Ye also, as lively stones,
you also, as living stones,
are built up a spiritual house.
You build up a spiritual house
and holy priesthood.
You constitute a holy priesthood
to offer up spiritual sacrifice.
Wait. All the purpose for this house, the purpose for this priesthood is for what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
For what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
For what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
That's worship. That's why we are priests. And if you are not a priest, you cannot offer worship.
Amen.
Wait. The ordinary Israelite could not enter either the holy place are the holy of holies. It was for priests. The holy place was built to offer worship. The holy of holies was built that only the high priest could go there once per year, one day in the year. We are part of Christ's spiritual house.
Amen.
And we are an holy priesthood. And our purpose is to offer up spiritual acceptable sacrifice to God.
Amen.
Let me hear verse 6 and 7.
Wherefore,
mm-hmm.
also it is contained in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone,
mm-hmm.
elect,
mm-hmm.
precious,
mm-hmm.
and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Right, you know. Who is a believer, a Christian? He that believeth on him is referring to men and women who believe to the extent that they submit their lives to Jesus Christ. This belief here is not the one of just a mental awareness. Yes, I believe in Christmas. I believe Christ did come. No, that's not it. It's talk about the belief that drives you to repent of your sin, confess Christ, and get baptized with a resolve to live right. Notice the passage. Read, brother.
Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious.
Wait. You notice how it is making a distinction? You notice unto you. Unto you. You who? The Christian.
Amen.
He is precious.
Amen.
Read on.
But unto them which be disobedient.
You notice the difference between the you and the them?
Amen.
Eh? You notice? Now, what camp do you fall this morning? Wait. This is being written. What the brother is reading, it was written by Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest apostles. And he's giving you from the horse's mouth. And to you who believe, Jesus is precious. That's why we accept him. He's precious to us.
Amen.
But then there's another group there. He referred to them as the them.
Amen.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. Let me hear the you and the them again. Quick.
Unto you, therefore, which believe.
That is a Christian.
He is precious.
He is precious.
But unto them which be disobedient.
Wait. Two groups. And what I'm telling you here is that the disobedient group cannot offer worship to God. You cannot because of the condition of your life. May I drop something here that I always point out. God wants you before he will accept yours. Very important point. God wants you before he will accept yours. Cut that down, Brother Mitchell. God will not accept yours. That is whatever you give to him until you have first given him your life. That's a fact. Bible tells us that we must present our bodies living sacrifice. Only when you present yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ will he accept your worship and all else that you have to give to him. Your time, your talent, your effort, whatever, your worship, your prayer, those he will accept only after you have given him yourself. Amen. You were in 1 Peter chapter 2,
verse
7.
And
you are somewhere about verse 7.
Amen.
Let me hear it, brother.
Unto you, therefore, which believe,
mm-hmm.
he is precious.
Mm-hmm.
But unto them which be disobedient,
mm-hmm.
the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
You hear that? The stone, what is disallowed? When you reject Jesus Christ. But Brother Mitchell, I plan to accept him one day. The Almighty God look on your present state. Every time you hear the gospel, every time you have an opportunity to become a Christian, and you make a decision not to, you are making a decision to reject Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that you cannot offer true worship to God until after you have given him your life. And the passage here we are reading from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 2 through verse 9. Read a little more, brother. Read verse 8 and 9 after verse 7 finish.
The same is made the head of the corner,
mm-hmm.
and a stone of stumbling,
mm-hmm.
and a rock of offense,
mm-hmm.
even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also...
Wait, you notice how we keep repeating the disobedient.
Amen.
You see. So it is contrasting two groups. Those who are obedient, those who are believers, with those who are disobedient.
Amen.
Read.
Whereunto also they were appointed, but ye...
Wait. Is this passage telling us that they were appointed? God had fixed it that they must disobey? No. No. I don't want to... I may make a statement or two on that tonight. Because if you're not careful, you get the idea that they were made by God to God fix them that they must obey and end up in the eternal hell. No, the Almighty God doesn't fix it that anybody end up in the eternal hell. God fix it that the obedient will be saved and the disobedient will be lost. That's what the passage is talking about. Let me see if I have a few more minutes to deal with one more passage. Quick. Of course, in the passage we have just looked at, you notice who can show forth his praise in verse 9 and 10. I'm just dropping this because I'm moving on to another passage as we look to wrapping up.
But ye are a chosen generation.
Yes, you're a royal priesthood. Uh-huh.
A royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him.
All the description that the brothers just read, a holy nation, peculiar people, holy nation, all of those phrases, they are pointing to the Christian. And those are the one who can show forth
the praises of him.
Praises to God.
Amen.
The ungodly men and women who reject Jesus Christ, who have not submitted their lives to him, cannot offer acceptable worship, because your sin must first be dealt with by the blood of Christ before you can offer acceptable worship.
Amen.
God fixed it like that. I'm just telling it. I didn't fix it. Look at one more passage. Quick, brother. Ephesians chapter 2, 10 through 30. Ephesians chapter 2, 10 through 30.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ
Jesus. Okay. Here again, Ephesians chapter 2, 10 through 30. We're going to make that the last passage. Notice the we. That doesn't refer to everybody. The we is talking about the Christian. Notice, we are his workmanship. In other words, God brought us about, God created us. But wait. This is not talking about our biological creation. This is talking about our spiritual creation. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. Start the passage again, brother.
For we are his workmanship.
We are God's workmanship. It is God who produced us. Uh-huh.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Where did he create us?
In Christ Jesus.
This, as I've said, is not talking about our biological creation. This is talking about Christians who were made in Christ. It's talking to Christians, created in Christ Jesus. What else?
Unto good works.
Unto good works.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Read on.
Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles.
Wait. Remember that you being in past time Gentiles. Read.
In the flesh. Who are called uncircumcision.
You were called uncircumcision.
By that which is called circumcision.
Here it's talk about Jews and Gentile.
In the flesh made by hands.
Yes, it said biologically, that is in the flesh. Uh-huh.
That at that time.
Notice at that time. Wait. What time, Paul? What time, Holy Spirit? This at that time is when we are not Christian. Every man and woman, not a child of God, comes under this at that time. So this, where the brother is now, he's telling us how God sees us when we are not Christian. Wait. It's not telling you how your neighbor sees you. It's not telling how your co-worker sees you. It's not telling how you see yourself. It's not telling how you feel about yourself. This, at that time, is telling us how God sees us when we are not Christian. How he sees us, brother, at that time.
That time. We're without Christ.
You are without?
Christ.
You are without Christ.
Being aliens.
Alien from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenant of promise.
Having no hope.
You have no
hope. And without God in the world.
You are without
God. God in the world.
Wait. I was waiting for more, but that is enough. Watch here. This passage is telling us how God sees us when we are not Christian. One, you are without Christ. You are alien. I've always pointed out that because we are traveling people, we know what the word alien means. It means that there are some rights and privileges that citizens have that the aliens do not have. Huh? Yes. Then it tells us that we are without hope. But Brother Mitchell, I'm hoping for a very good job tomorrow. I'm going for the interview. It's not talking about that hope. It's not talking about physical, secular hope. It's talking about hope in Jesus Christ. When you are not Christian, you are without Christ. You are alien, that is from God's promise. You have no hope in Christ, and this beats it too. You are not only without Christ, but you are without God in the world. Where is that found, Brother Mitchell? Ephesians chapter 2? Is it verse 10 through what? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 13. Very plain passages. At that time, what time part? When you were not a child of God. You were alien. You were without Christ. You were without hope. You did not know God. Implying that there's no way you can offer worship to God. Spiritual. You are too far from God to offer spiritual worship or spiritual sacrifice. You have to be created in Christ Jesus to be able to offer spiritual worship. We're going to stop here. There are much more, but we'll have to pick up on. You notice what we are doing. I don't stand before you telling you my opinion. We hope that when you come to church, you bring your Bible. And I want to tell our visiting friends that if you are without a Bible, we can give you one. The print might not be very large, but if you're a person who wants a Bible to read, I think we still have some Bible that can begin. But the point is, what we have been doing throughout the lesson is just go down certain passages with you verse by verse and show you what the Bible is teaching. And all that we have looked at tonight, it points out that those who are able to offer worship to God must have a certain relationship with God. They have to have their sins dealt with. They have to be sanctified. They have to be created in Christ Jesus. All of that. And the Bible usually makes a distinction between those who belong to Christ and those who belong to the world. Remember, let me hear verse 13. Quick, brother.
But now in Christ Jesus.
Yes. You see, I don't even, you see, it was telling you, those who are without God, alien, then verse 13 says, but now.
In Christ Jesus.
It's dealing now with a different group. It was dealing with the non-Christian group who cannot offer spiritual sacrifice. But now, it is showing you, but now. Where?
In Christ Jesus.
Where?
In Christ Jesus.
We'll have to take up that next week, brother.